Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host Robert, and I think I might fuck around and pioneer the art of strip mancala. It's never been done before. And with me, I have...
Making an AI dub for a kid's anime nobody but your members from Toei. You're fucked, my guy.
And...
Introducing... our brand new Decibel Boost cam! Yeah, we can see all the... Wait, you got no crowd? There's somebody with a hooker.
Oh yeah, that's,
CEO, I don't
that's,
know.
The CEO of the website, Surreal Resolution.
Ew.
His parents were bad with names. But also, wow, that whole, AI fucking... You know what? I was looking at all that, and I have this mild conspiracy. I believe that whatever the hell is going on with that particular show is secretly the return of George Gameface.
No. No. He's not that clever. He wouldn't know how to use Daily Motion. Come on.
Clever is a choice of words.
Mm. Yeah, we'll talk more about that sometime, whenever our next show is. I don't know when. Probably in 2 weeks. I don't know. My brain's kind of fucked right now. I'm very tired. It's been a long week, so yeah, there you go. You're an idiot, guy. You're going to get fucked by Toei's lawyers.
Podcast08.surrealresolution.com.
No. No, this was looking at the guy caught at a Coldplay concert. And then when I got caught at, let's say, a Tyler Creator concert, which you're thinking, what would it be at a Tyler Creator concert? I don't know. What do you think Tyler would have said? You know what he said.
I don't think a CEO would have that good taste. But yeah, that whole thing, which on one hand, I'm going to be that guy and say I'm not really fond of the whole having to shove cameras in everyone's faces about everything type of thing. But also, Jesus, dude, Coldplay, have some fucking standards.
Yes, it is very funny, but also, you know, don't do that.
Yeah, do not. But this isn't a podcast riffing on CEOs. Actually, I guess technically, depending on how the news shakes out in every given week, it could be hashtag Daniel Leck as it showed. But this is Decibel Boost episode 401. How's everyone's week actually been going, though?
Oh, God. Okay. I am in the middle of taking 10 days off of my work because I am so burned out and tired and exhausted from everything going on that I need to take 10 days off. And I probably should have taken it off like a week earlier because, not to go into a sociopolitical religious rant here, but I don't care that much for Baptists. I had to deal with a whole group of them doing some kind of summertime getaway events. Thing, whatever, like, yeah, it was a whole mess, and having to pick up after them, not fun, not fun in the slightest. And look, I was born and raised, I guess you could say, casual Catholic, not totally devout. I don't go to church ever, but I have a little thing called the get out of jail free card when I die, which we all do, and I have opinions about various subsections of religion. Baptists are like way, way, way down low. If you have enough time and energy to dress yourselves in cummerbunds and tuxedos, you have the same amount of time and energy to clean up your fucking hotel rooms.
Good lord.
You assholes. Ugh, yeah. Not fun. Not fun hearing them all going saying, we want this, we want that, blah, 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 all fucking weekend. Ugh. So I'm in the middle of taking 10 days off as an extended mental health break. At the very least, I'm getting paid for it. So, you know, because I don't take vacations. I don't take time off. I let it build and build and build and build and build until when I need it, which is right now.
Fair enough. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Yeah, it's been as usual. We're in the middle of basically this thing where it's like somebody supposed to come and, you know, basically sort of like a look, see what we did right, what we did wrong, blah blah blah, you know, all that, you know, all that shit going on. Only except they don't announce what day they're coming. It's one of those things. I hate those things.
They never announce it. I hate doing QA too. It sucks.
Yeah, it's happening for almost a month or so because it's like we've been trying. Like every time we try to get to the, every time we get it clean. I'm hoping it come where I'm not there because because I'm mostly aborted. Of course, I get to new to one. I'm out of here, and still they came yet, which kind of annoys because it's like I keep doing this shit every day until they it irks me, it annoys me. That's just me, but yeah, this. Oh God, I'm hoping they already came, or at least because I just don't like doing that shit anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like hell. Anyway, as for me, well, on the downsides, the ACs throughout the house seem to be on the fritz. Like, okay, the one in my room has always kind of been very iffy, but now it seems like every single AC unit in the house is having its own version of some fuck shit going on, save for maybe one. So, yeah, it's been fucking roasting in this goddamn house. Also, there was some unnerving, like, behind-the-scenes shit that happened at the most inconvenient fucking time, but it has all been resolved, thank fuck. But now, for the upside, me being friends with a monkey. Because I got a Donkey Kong Bonanza, and that's been, keeping me sane. Because it's very fun to destroy the environments, and Tiny Pauline is also very adorable.
Monkey!
Although, brief content warning for those who plan to play the game, there is a world that is based off of Donkey Kong Barrel Blast, so, if you want to work towards your goal of getting a V-card and being a virgin, avoid that stage at all costs, or else Scott the Waz will be very disappointed in you. References. Also, I am, gradually contemplating being one of those guys who, rips every single DVD I have to my computer, via, you know, whatever means the people on the internet use to do that. Not something I've ever tried before, so that'll be fun.
I can tell you how to do that. Get yourself a DVD drive, a hard drive, and a free program called Handbrake. There you go.
Ah, yeah, that's the one that all the internet people have been telling me I need to use.
I've been doing this shit for like 15 years. It really is that easy. Takes a little bit of time because USB standards are slow, but it does pay off in the end, which is something I really need to do as well, except I have several hundred discs that I need to rip at one point, and I'm pretty sure that would total probably in the triple-digit number of terabytes, so I'm fucked in the future.
I mean, I'm not sure how many discs I have lying around. I'm just thinking, like, okay, if DVDs already have, like, so-and-so amount of gigabytes, what about the Blu-rays? That I probably will need to get a drive for, because, like, my computer obviously can play DVDs, but not Blu-rays. Because I don't think any computers can natively play Blu-rays.
Yeah, they can't.
Thanks, Microsoft.
Absolute hoe bags. But anyway, yeah, that's basically about my weekend, so now it's time to move on to the usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, all of that jazz. So, where exactly do we start here? What do we got cooking at the top of the list?
Let's see. It's new with Blood Orange, and an album coming out.
Oh, nice.
They got an album coming out. August 29th, titled Essex Honey, which I'm guessing that's a UK thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Essex is some kind of place in the UK.
Yeah. So, they not only got not one, but two new tracks from Blood Orange. The first one we get off here is called Somewhere in Between, which gonna say right off the bat, I'm like, okay, I just wanna dig this, like, okay, I like the groove of it. I like how the song goes, which maybe the song themes of adolescence, wishing that you can live through it again, possibly make it better. Basically, it's like trying to make sure what went wrong, all that shit. Like, the beat sounds nice, but the brother sounds nice. The singing does sound good. Like, the way the chorus, like, in the middle of it flows when they sing it, but I gotta say, I'm kind of digging the song right here. Like, okay, I'm digging this. I can definitely go along with this. And then the next track, we got My Loaded, which has some features from that being Caroline Polachek, Mustafa, and Lord.
Oh, okay, quite the talent there.
Yeah, I will say for this song, this one I kind of. Okay, like maybe not as much like the other song, but this one is kind of good too. Caroline on chorus, you got Lord Mustafa do the bridge and Lord of course as well. But I will say this one kind of sounds okay to me too. This album is kind of interesting. Blood Orange is. I mean, I don't say it's more R&B, but it is more I want to say singer songwriter stuff. At least that's what I'm getting, or at least alternative. I want to say folk or pop, but not folk. I don't know. It's different genre music. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's some pretty good vibes on this, especially in the instrumental side. I was gonna say, for what I put down in my notes, it kind of feels like the intersection of like Tame Impala and Steve Lacy, and of course their saxophone.
Okay, yeah.
At least on Somewhere in Between, and I do like some saxophones.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, after making their first proper live debut at Download Fest, and apparently headlining their first, like, set outside of that, looks like the mysterious masked metalcore act President have set a release date for their debut EP. September 26th, we'll see the release of King of Terrors. Gee, talk about on-the-nose commentary, but anyway, we now have single number 3 from the band overall. For reference, this is a 6-track EP. It's called Rage. And when you hit play on the song, the intro is basically just like full-on synth pop. You mainly have like this woman's chopped-up glitchy vocals kind of setting the tone before the actual President vocals kick in. Still as obnoxiously caked in autotune as ever. Are you really telling me we can't do anything about that? Whoever you might be. So, of course, you got stuff like the 808 clap snare in there, some light guitar in the background, absolutely committing to that synth-pop feel on the first couple of verses. And then about halfway through, the full band kicks in again with this pretty, like, typical, nothing special, grooving metalcore riff, and, if I have not made this clear by now, 3 singles in, I am absolutely not impressed at all, like, at all, especially since, okay, so, let's assume, for the record, that maybe all the rumors are true, and this band is being fronted by Charlie Simpson. I actually did my due diligence and listened to the entire Fightstar discography at the very least, and it wasn't bad. Like, I could see, like, if I discovered, got into it when it was new, it would have been one of my favorite bands as far as, like, you know, the scene of the era, as it were. I'm just thinking, like, can you go back to doing that? Y'all sounded more inspired there than whatever the fuck you're trying to do here. Just saying.
Yeah, I'll have to share that sentiment because for me, the interest has gone steadily downhill, I'm sorry to say. Started off kind of, like a six, and it's just been sort of diving further down. And this is where I'm like, okay, I'm now down to like a two. That's not great. And yeah, this video is definitely the embodiment of, well, I could tell you, but instead I'll show you through interpretive dance. And well, it's a video of interpretive dance, while the song is clearly going for the emotional, melodic ballad approach to build up to the heavy riff chorus. Like, it's fine, but it's about all I can really say aside from a very obvious joke about how this president clearly isn't afraid to release any kinds of files he most definitely is a part of. Ahem, ahem.
Oh my god, please. I just need one good thing to happen in this universe. Please let this be the thing that implodes in his face.
Please. Like, we don't care who it takes down. We want everyone to go down. We want names. We want people dying in prison. We want them all to suffer. If only for the purposes of letting the... I lost my train of thought there. Either way, these people suck. Send them all to prison for the rest of their lives for all the heinous shit they've done. Let the punishment fit the crime. There, I remember what I was going to say. Anyway, yeah, the song, it's whatever.
Force them to listen to this band's music for all eternity. But, yeah, anyway, moving on to some actual good fucking food. Looks like we have another, possibly the last single from The Armed, before the release of their upcoming August 1st album, The Future Is Here and Everything Needs to Be Destroyed. Probably in the running for best album title of the year. So this one is called Sharp Teeth. And the song opens with this pretty steady grooving rhythm from the drums. You get that characteristically buzzy, you know, sort of fuzzed out lick from the guitars that's kind of sort of low in the mix, while it seems like the vocals are very echoing and kind of more prominent. Specifically, we're kind of getting a back and forth from Kara Drill Shagan and whoever the fuck it is that does the male vocals. I don't even remember the names anymore. Like, is it fucking Tony Walski? Is it Dan Green? No relation. Is it David Hayter? But anyway, eventually all that gives way to a much heavier chorus where the drums are hitting a lot harder with a lot of those, like, you know, characteristic rapid fills. And, of course, the vocals get a lot more scream-laden, with the next verse having, again, the characteristic kind of weird serenity. Like, especially in the choruses when you hear the way the vocals play off each other, it definitely carries what I call, like, the typical Armed feel of chaotic serenity, where all of this just noise and chaos just kind of like melts together into something oddly pleasing in its melodies, especially during that final minute where the guitars kind of play this very like frantic lead solo complemented by equally frantic drumming. I am definitely very intrigued, and I feel like this will be the redemption for whatever that last album was.
Well, I can definitely say that these singers wouldn't ever be caught dead at a Coldplay concert together, and that's the last time we're going to make that joke, because I had to do it. Pretty good track overall, doesn't waste any time with its raucous noise rock stylings. And now for something completely different, because guess what time it is?
Shit, I lost it in my notes here. There's okay, this clock oh, here, there's this clock here.
Okay, let me find some and hold up. Why is that? Wait, okay, something about the tip over in. Oh, shit. Oh, okay, shit. That's a lot of. Wow, a lot of stuff going on. Let's see, there's. Okay, okay, it's the Wakehorn album. Okay, we check that out. There's that DJ Harem album. Alright, okay. Oh, there's another album. Okay, I can check that out. And wait a minute.
Hmm?
It is.
Have you discovered something?
Yes. we have a new Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist record.
Oh.
And it's coming this week.
Okay, short
notice.
And
it's that record. It's Alfredo 2.
It's the Alchemist O'Clock, motherfuckers! Lock the fuck in!
Just pretend I have a plate of Alfredo here. Maybe I should get that for dinner tomorrow.
Okay. I'm just gonna say this. Hip-hop this month has been very, very good to me. It's been very good. It's very good to everyone. It's been very good to everyone. And wow, we now have Alfredo 2 coming, which I didn't think it would get for another year or so. But we got another Freddie Gibbs, another Freddie Gibbs Alchemist record, and we got the first case of this, just titled 1995, which is the sequel to their one song from the first Alfredo, 1985, just 10 years later. Even though it's actually 5 years later.
Oh, God, that was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Alfredo's one of the albums that I really wish I'd done a review of because 1995, which is just like, okay, two parts is the, like, the first time Ray Lush with the piano and the vocals, which sounds pure fucking amazing, which that lines for Freddie going like, W catalog classic, you shaking like the Nasus, about the ass like Joe Jackson. How to come up with a sequel, ain't no equal, makes the Murtaugh this shit lethal. On the Barksdale in my section, nah, on the Marlowe in my section. Boy, your bars on the question, on the review, nothing new, your crew, another crew, Freddie Collins, are putting niggas in the fields like Din Jerry Jones. And okay, this is a line from the second part. Which got that sweet ass guitar like that. That's some soul sample shit going on in the second part. Which you got a line that says, "You're a cartoon Doug Nivens, but I broke the mold." I gotta say, man, this is okay. I'm really liking what I'm hearing from the me on this track, and looking at the playlist, I heard, like, I know there's, like, more tracks, possibly less features than the first one. What I heard is, I know Jid's on there, Larry June, and Anderson .Paak, which, okay. Yeah, sure. I'll go with that. I will say this, like the track I love, but I will say, I'm not gonna expect it to be like the first one, because I love the first one so much. Like, there's the things that you can't repeat. And by that, I mean, Frank Lucas. You know why.
So, make sure to order yourself some Alfredo this Friday.
Or better yet, buy yourself a plate of Alfredo 2. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing. They had this short film. They went to Japan for some shit. Like, they even had the time in Japanese or some shit. Like, okay. I'm definitely peeping this shit out.
Yeah, that's also gonna be interesting. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, y'all know how earlier this year there was a new album from Clipping, Dead Channel Sky? You all heard it, it was pretty good. But
yeah, I reviewed it.
Yes, it's true, he did. But it looks like they're not done with it, as on September 19th, there will be a deluxe edition of the album. One with some new tracks, and even a rearranged sequence of tracks. It is called Dead Channel Sky Plus. Sounds like a streaming service.
Dead Channel Sky Plus.
So, what do we have going on here with this deluxe thing?
Well, I mean, we got a new song right here, titled Night of Heaven, features singer Counterfeit Madison, and Valentine turntable is Kid Koala, which that name sounds familiar. I feel I heard it before, but I don't know, like, you know, like somebody, someone will remind me. But all right, I will say, for this track is perfectly, like, we got the vocals, like, first started with Calvin Master, which I thought, okay, it's kind of weird and interesting. And of course, we get the V's verse, which again is, you know, all sorts of good shit, whether, you know, like, there's like the listen for Gristle and Bone, you phone it all, but then listen to once you click, pulling them out, and kind of being liquid, and like basically, less with that. Like, I will say, somebody, it does have sort of a slightly haunting feel, maybe a bit of a haunting feel from what I heard of it, like, but not as harsh as, you know, like, it's not as harsh as, let's say, Change the Channel. But it is some, like, okay, I gotta feel like this. Okay, I wonder how she says this looks, and they gotta rearrange the shit. I wonder how what else will go. Considering I got a track called Mirror Shades Part 1, and part two was in the original cut, I think. The song I can definitely go with this.
We'll see how this channel. I was trying to think of a pun, but my brain kind of crapped out. But yeah, we'll see how that pans out. Let's move on to the next track. So, in the next month, October 24th, it looks like we're going to be getting a new album by The Acacia Strain titled You Are Safe From God Here. You know, I was telling myself the other day that everything this year sucks so bad it would be the perfect time for their cartoonish, over-the-top brand of deathcore misanthropy. And it clicked for me that, like, okay, so we have a single here, we have an album title, and a release date a few months ahead of time. So, kind of a normal album release cycle compared to, like, you know, that duology we had for the last round, the Slow Decay EPs turning into a full album, and then there was, like, a shadow drop before that. So I guess they're like, let's just be normal with this one. As normal as you can be with the Acacia Strain, by which I mean, the lead single here is called A Call Beyond, and it takes place in a very, very deadly version of Wheel of Fortune, where people die and shit. But getting into the song itself, it kind of intros on, you know, this very slow grooving ramp up that leads into some of the more characteristically fast paced, like, drums and blast beats alongside like some more bass heavy guitar chugs punctuated by lots of feedback that, you know, helps bridge the various other sections. Blast beats, D beats, some pockets of groove. It's pretty short and sweet. It's only like 2 minutes 20 seconds. And of course, the lyrics are about being so fucking depressed that you can't love anyone, nor yourself, and you kind of want the world to see the rotting corpse that you have literally and metaphorically become. Because I too feel very hollow and empty inside when I have nothing better to do with my life than watching Wheel of Fortune. That is probably a bit too tasteless of a joke, but I do know that, again, given my mood towards all the everything this year, this hits.
Yes, I agree. It's heavy, it's aggro, and it gets right to the point of it all with a video that feels like a very twisted, ultra-violent Tim and Eric sketch. We're back, gamers! Plus, the album will have a feature from Brody King of God's Hate, AEW, and Abolish Ice t-shirt fame, so count me in on that.
Absolute king shit. But now let's move on to the last track we have on the docket here. So, speaking of stuff happening in October, Disney is going to once again try to make Tron happen. It probably won't, but at the very least, we're probably going to get a cool new world in Kingdom Hearts 4 from it. So, yeah, the third installment of this particular sci-fi series, Tron Ares, is set to release in theaters October 10th. But the soundtrack for it will be releasing on September 19th. As a reminder, this film is being scored by Nine Inch Nails. Yes, that's right, we did say Nine Inch Nails. Not Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, Nine Inch Nails. Because, I mean, at this point, Atticus Ross is now officially a member of Nine Inch Nails, so, you know, might as well. So, we do have a sampling of the soundtrack here called As Alive As You Need Me To Be. And, it's pretty solid, I think. There's this kind of bouncy, like, set of synth-based licks running through the song that definitely evokes... It kind of feels like the sort of dark sort of production that you would expect from sort of Downward Spiral era, though maybe a bit, like, you know, more cleaned up for the modern age, eventually kind of giving way to a lot of these, like, howling, piercing melodies, leading up to something kind of like a synth guitar riff playing out in the chorus. It definitely sounds like Nine Inch Nails, though, right? It's even a very vocal song with, of course, Trent Reznor saying Trent Reznor things. I mean, you know what his lyrics and his general mood usually sound like at this point, but you know what? Count me in. Even if the movie sucks, at least there's gonna be some good music.
Yeah. Seconded. And, boy, this really is the ultimate monkey's paw deal. We're getting new Nine Inch Nails music, and it's really good, but it's commissioned by Disney for a soundtrack to a Tron sequel with Jared fucking Leto, of all people, in it.
Yeah, that's the other thing about it. It's like, oh, yeah, that guy who... I wonder what he's been doing lately. Oh, wait, never mind.
It's a whole mess.
Yeah, for myself, yes, I'm pretty good. I know this is, like, some very, you know, industrial sounds, except, you know, it's, well, not as harsh or... That's harsher, you know, basically maybe tone out a bit, but it's still all good. Like I said, like them doing music with this is like interesting, because it's like how when Daft Punk was announced as a sound, doing something, see, I was interested in that, which, well, we're doing again 15 years later.
It's all Disney has at this point. Legacy sequels and other movies that barely get advertised outside of Disney platforms and social media feeds.
Yeah.
There's a new Predator movie coming out soon. It looks really good. Watch it.
Yeah, I might check that out. I gotta watch some Predator stuff, because I've missed out on the last couple of movies. But, yeah, we'll see how this all winds up shaking out in theaters. That'll about do it for the new Sun discussion. We'll take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we have a bit of news to discuss, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we have two news topics to discuss here. First of all, this is, of course, related to award season, but not the Grammy Awards. No. Instead, it's the Emmy Awards. You know, the Emmys. That thing that Keith David has three of, so I'm told. But, yeah, the past week or so, they released the nominees for the 2025 Primetime Emmy Awards. You will be unsurprised to learn that Severance and something called The Studio, which is apparently a Seth Rogen thing, got many nominations. But, of course, if you weave your way in and out of the various awards, you'll find some kind of talking point. In fact, let's get the two, aside from the big relevant one, out of the way right now. First of all, Lazarus got a nomination for Best Opening Theme, so... Congrats to Tomas Washington and Company. And second, which is the one that's most important to me personally, in the nominees for Best Original Animated Series, Common Side Effects Season 1. I am going to be so utterly not normal if it wins. Please let it win. The Simpsons does not need another fucking Emmy Award. But that's not the relevant bit here. I mean, remember, this is a music podcast, so we have to talk about music-related stuff. And we do have one, boy howdy. In the nominations for the category of Outstanding Live Variety Special and Outstanding Music Direction, we have, of course, well, okay, I don't have the full list of nominees here, but the important one here is Kendrick Lamar got nominated for the Super Bowl halftime show this year.
You love to see it. Get fucked, Drake.
So I'll give Drake an Emmy. No, shit. So I'll give Drake an Emmy. There you go.
Kendrick just opened his mouth. Someone go hand him a Grammy right now. Okay, here's a Grammy. Here's several. You know what? Let's do an Emmy on there, too. You know what? We're going to give him a Tony Award, too. He hasn't even done a musical yet that you know of. So, yeah, obviously that's going to be a lot of fun if he actually winds up winning. Of course, some of the other staff. It's worth noting that the halftime show was directed by Hamish Hamilton, who was nominated in Outstanding Directing for a Variety Special. And Charm LaDonna received a nomination for the choreography for the show. Which was Charm the one that told Kendrick to do that smile? Maybe not, but a guy can dream, can he? Like, just imagine that conversation, like, okay, so when you do say Drake, you gotta flash the smile at the camera. Yeah, so, by the way, it's, some other observations from the, at least the Staring Gun piece here. Given that this was, that the halftime show was co-produced by Roc Nation, it sort of means that, you know, that this is a competition with Beyonce's 2024 Christmas Day halftime show, aka the Beyonce Bowl, because that was also nominated. There was also, let's see what else here, Mark Ronson for SNL 50, the homecoming concert. Of course, there was also some unrelated nominations for Questlove and shit, but look, the important thing here is, the Emmys have the opportunity to continue doing the funniest thing ever.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Now, one more thing. Disregarding last week. Yes, I know. Again. Now, I don't think it might. I don't think it's gonna win. I mean, I wanted to, but something that Alex said earlier. Alex posted. Well. At least this anime has an Emmy nomination and not the other one you're thinking of. I guess I know it's an old. It knows for music. So what? It got nominated. Don't kill my vibe, bitch. And also, the business was good. Y'all just corny.
I'm trying to see if I can actually see what else was nominated because I'm looking at the list here. And anyway, look, so. Obviously, congratulations to the nominees. The awards are going to take place September 14th, hosted by Nate Bargates, whoever the fuck. Peacock Theater, Los Angeles, all that bullshit.
Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks in a row of CBS having award shows. Maybe, if it goes well, they won't cancel it!
Oh.
Boy, yeah. Howdy. But, anyway, let's move on to the, final bit of news here. And shockingly, it's not a continuation of the Firefest story, because I already added in that little annotation. $250,000. Oh, God, that... I can still hear the sound in his voice. That's so low. Oh, God, yeah, feed it into my veins. Billy McFarlane's suffering sustains me, but... We gotta move on to the actual story here, which concerns the fallout of whatever the fuck was going on with Jane's Addiction last year. You remember how they were on tour, they were gearing up for a new album, and then Perry Farrell decided that he was gonna fucking throw hands? you know, for some fucking reason. Well, now, there's legal action involved. So, this past Wednesday, July 16th, a lawsuit was filed by basically all the members of the band. So, okay, Dave Navarro, Eric Avery, and Stephen Perkins, they all filed a lawsuit against Perry Farrell, specifically regarding all that fallout, as well as Navarro having a separate lawsuit against Farrell for assault and battery, since he was the one that specifically got, you know, punched. So, according to the lawsuit, it alleges that the fight caused the band to lose $10 million at least. Quote, the band can no longer function as a result of the defendant's conduct, including a sudden violent outburst, and demonstrating inability to serve as the band's frontman and vocalist. The physical, emotional, and financial harms defendant has wrought have deeply impacted the plaintiffs, their families, and their loved ones, and it is time for defendant to face the consequences of his actions and be held accountable. Further alleging that he's, been hitting the bottle a bit too hard, and that, of course, has made his live performances, shit. Again, quote, plaintiffs and others in attendance have observed during the tour that Perry regularly appeared on stage in an advanced state of intoxication. He would often drink wine on stage and slur his speech. Perry frequently went on long rambling excursions between songs for no apparent purpose other than for his own amusement. The problems with Perry's performance would often worsen as the night wore on and he became more intoxicated. They are being represented by attorney Christopher Frost. Seriously, they were having high hopes that a full-scale revival for the band could happen, but then this, all this happened. Frost emphasizing that Farrell ultimately, quote, abruptly and unilaterally ended all the plans for a Jane's Addiction revival and left his bandmates holding the bag for an unfulfilled tour and record deal. Dave, Eric, and Steven never wanted it to come to this, but they have been wronged. Want the accurate story told, and they deserve a resolution. So, yeah, all this is, certainly a thing happening. And, boy, it sure would be, something if, I don't know, fucking Perry decided he was, gonna counter-sue or some shit. Oh, wait, that's happening, too!
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Well. Yeah, so Variety and all the other various blogs have picked up that, Farrell filed a 30-page legal complaint against his bandmates just hours after the initial lawsuit happened. So, yeah, his lawsuit alleges a... And, for the record, we're pulling from a metal injection piece here by Greg Kenelty. This lawsuit alleges, quote, a multi-year campaign of harassment and bullying by the other members, claiming the trio intentionally sought to undermine him on stage by playing at dangerously high volumes, preventing him from hearing himself sing unless he blasted his in-ear monitors to unsafe levels. The complaint further details an escalation of this behavior into physical violence, naming both Navarro and Avery in alleged onstage and backstage assaults against Farrell and his wife. And, yeah, according to the lawsuit, that incident, which, as a reminder, took place during a show in Boston on September 13th, was not an isolated breakdown, but the culmination of years of interpersonal strain. Oh boy, I wonder how much further this is going to go. Let me take a quick sip here before I go on. Quote, this harassment escalated on September 13th to physical violence by Navarro and Avery against Farrell on stage during the Boston show and the assault of both Perry and Eddie Lau Farrell backstage by Navarro. These altercations precipitated the decision by Navarro, Avery, and Perkins to both call off the rest of the band's North America tour without warning or consultation, and using Perry Farrell as a scapegoat, Navarro and the other band members took it upon themselves to abruptly cancel the remaining tour dates, violating contracts and disregarding all professional obligations, and apparently break up the band for good. Farrell further contends that the decision to cancel the remainder of the tour was made without his knowledge or consent, branding the move a violation of contracts and a betrayal of the fan base, alleging that he was scapegoated by everyone else and excluded from key decisions that ultimately led to the band's, disillusion, despite his role as the founder, and, yeah, this just all sounds like a lot of, no, you. Like, no, it was your guys' fault, you guys are bad, you know, fucking, never mind, we have video evidence of some of this shit, but...
No, you, Philip, no, you, William, no, you, Philip, no, you, fuck you, pal.
Wait for this to go to discovery and let the depositions begin. You'll be surprised how they go, which is, not great, especially when you're the one countersuing.
Yeah, so, This is going to be interesting. And hang on. Okay, so as a reminder, so in the aftermath of all this, I want to point out that fucking Perry Farrell did do a public, you know, apology citing inexcusable behavior on his end, but he's still trying to, you know, act like it's everyone else's fault. And it's like, okay, so now you're not, like, taking responsibility. So what's the deal here exactly? I feel like there's some conflicting notes of interest here.
The deal is, these people don't like each other, and they're going to kill each other in courts. And I'm just as an outside, purveyor of it all, I'm just here for the laughs, really. Like, if he wants to do this, go ahead. So it's gonna be his money in the end, anyway.
Yeah, this whole thing feels like a Creedence Clearwater Revival if one of the guys was a tattoo artist. Except I don't know if any of them ever threw hands. Did they? I might have to look into that, but yeah, we got two lawsuits. Good luck with all that. Anyway, yeah, we'll have to wait for more legal details to emerge. So until then, that pretty much about does it for the news. That leaves one more brief bit here. And we do mean brief. It's just three things we got to touch on. And that is the new album releases for the week of July 25th, 2025. Starting at the top, of course, by the time you're listening to this, you will have already heard the new Tyler, the Creator album, Don't Tap the Glass. There is apparently a new project from Young Boy Never Broke Again with Massa.
What?
Did I stutter? You heard me.
Yeah, I heard you. Like, what the fuck is it? Why are you naming Bass? Some old slavery shit. Like these has one S and not two.
I don't know. I don't make the rules here. And last but certainly not least, as previously mentioned, Freddie Gibbs and the Alchemist with Alfredo 2. Anyway, now it's time to clean house to get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, every now and then. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, some platforms that I tend to poke in on every once in a while. I'm just going to be laying low for the next week or so because, you know, extended mental health break and all that stuff because I'm fucking tired.
And how? Mark, what about you?
Of course, on the Sky of Blues, doing my thing on Discord, possibly also on the server website, possibly writing another review or two because this coming up. Also, my site, my hype1.wordpress.com, where, of course, right, you see, I've been doing my story series, Welcome to Zona Merita, weekly, and five episodes in, so there you go.
Cool, cool. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast.1a, all of that good stuff. And of course, be sure to jump into our Discord server as well, so that way you can talk all kinds of media stuff and be immediately notified whenever new stuff goes up on the site. That'll about do it for this week. Thank you all for listening, and until next time, marinated raw chicken.
Ew.
What?